Is Jesus, he's on the way to Jerusalem. He's got his disciples with him, probably some other kind of number of people, the crowd with him as well. But he pulls his disciples aside. This is sort of like one of these teaching moments, okay? But understand, it's the third time he's done it. If you read Mark 8, you see him doing it. You read Mark 9, you see him doing it. Or in Mark 10 that Gwyn read from, he's doing it for the third time. And I won't repeat everything that Jesus said, but let me just give it the summary of these key words. Jesus says, I will be betrayed. I will be condemned to death. I'll be mocked. I'll be spit on. I'll be flogged. Here's a clincher. I'll be killed. That's what you call the regular dinner party conversation on the way from Jericho to Jerusalem, right? Obviously not. That's horrific. It's horrendous. It's frightening. It's gruesome. I mean, there's violence that's in what Jesus is telling them. And he says to them, walk with me in this. That's basically what he's saying. Walk with, because it says, if you look at it, we are going up to Jerusalem. It's not just Jesus going up there by himself. His followers. This is where we are going, and this is what's going to happen to me. You think that you're one of those first disciples, okay? Picture yourself there. And I know what you say right then and there. Yes, it's exactly what we wanted, Jesus. Well, obviously not. I mean, if I was one of those first disciples, I might have said, Jesus, hold on a second. We're not even halfway to Jerusalem yet, and I just have this feeling like I got to go back and get my toothbrush. You know, I left something behind. I'll catch up with you later. All right. I mean, I got to go back to Jericho. I got a previous engagement. Anything to get out of. We are going up to Jerusalem. I'm not going there when I hear that story. Third time that they had heard this. You can't say in any way that Jesus hasn't been very open with them, hasn't been, right out front sharing his plan. I mean, telling them what's going to happen on this. I don't know what you'd call this passage. I think you could probably call it something like a death march or a death walk to Jerusalem. And so look what happens next in the story. After Jesus says all of this, look what happens. I mean, you got the picture from what I shared with the children, James and John. Jesus says all of this, and these two guys, they say, give us what we want. I mean, it seems so ludicrous. I would have loved to have heard the inflection in Jesus' voice in the response that he had for them. I'm sure he didn't do it like this, but this is maybe the way that George Robertson might have done it. What do you want? I've said this three times to you. What we're going up to, and you're asking me for that? And guess what they say? Well, Jesus, and he says, what do you want from me? And they say, well, we want 2 platinum season tickets to the ACC. We want prime seating. Well, I guess they're not playing there this year, are they? Okay, I forgot about that, but you get the point. They want prominent positions. And it's like they've hardly seemed to have been listening to Jesus. It's like Jesus should have gone, duh, you're not getting this. I mean, are you thick or what's going on here? Jesus is telling them about you could only call it the ultimate act of sharing. He's going to give his life away for them. He's going to die for them. And what they want are box seats. And they want places of prominence. They want the glory. They want the honor. They want people to look at them. And you think, okay, I mean, they must have been just, I mean, so challenged. You know, the more I think about the story, I'll just be straight with you here, honest. I don't know that it's really that much different for me. And, you know, I'm looking out at you now, and I don't think it's all that much difference for any of us. Because, you know, there's this capital I? It's pretty big inside of me. I think the capital I is really large in most of us, if we're honest, because really serving and kneeling and stooping and bending is not something that comes all that natural or easy. It's not the first choice. I mean, if you want to talk about me serving myself or me trying to get you to serve me, well, that's easy. I'm after that all the time. I can go for that. But this thing called actually pouring out your life for someone else, Jesus says in Mark 10, verse 45, he says this, "The Son of Man didn't come to be served. I came to serve and to give my life as a ransom for many." You see, doing it the Jesus way is very, very different. And I've actually heard this done, okay? It's very, very different than having someone sing at your memorial service or your funeral service, "I did it my way." I've heard that song. It's very different than that. The Jesus way is what the Gospels tell us is good news. The "I did it my way," I looked after myself and I tried to get you to look after me, that's really bad news. Ultimately, bad news. And so we want to go the Jesus way. I get that. I want to go the Jesus way, and I'm sure you do too. So here's what we do, okay? Let's just have this service of renewal and rededication, and let's just ramp up our resolve and our determination and our energy, and we're just going to work harder at this thing called the Jesus way and the Jesus life. Keep me accountable. I want to be less selfish. I want to be more patient. I want to be kind. I want to be loving. I want to care about others first. I want to look out for them more than I look out for myself. Harder will do it, won't it? No. I like the enthusiasm. But harder won't do it. Learning to live the Jesus way. You can try that, but guess what? That's what you're going to get. You're going to get weary in the well-doing. All right? You're going to burn out. You're going to wear out. You're going to rust out. It's not the Jesus way. Learning to live the Jesus way, that of serving others, always starts with letting yourself be served by Jesus, first of all. If you're going to serve others the Jesus way, we have to first let Jesus serve us. And Jesus serves us. I'm just looking around at the stained glass here. He serves us by setting us free. I talked about this last week in the message, Heart Set Free, and I didn't think I'd be of the generation that would ever say to you, you can listen to that message on our website podcast. Whoa. But it's there, all right? You want to go back and you want to listen to it, you can. www.knoxwaterdown.ca. I didn't ever think I was going to say that either, But Jesus gave his life as a ransom for us. A ransom, it means a deliverer, someone who sets free, someone who rescues. Jesus paid the price of our deliverance from living that me first or how can you serve me kind of lifestyle to how can I bless you? How can I help you? How can I love you? I want to really have a part in what's happening in your life, in the life of little Taylor. How can I do that? The good news of our faith really is it's all about Jesus being, first of all, the servant. The Bible here this morning's turned to Isaiah 42, God's servant. Jesus is the ultimate servant, the servant king and the servant Lord, and he sets us free. We've got to receive this. We have to embrace this. We've got to take it into our lives. He sets us free so that we can join in his story. And it's an incredible story that's been started. And we get to be part of it, his story of setting other people free as well to love God and to love others. And every time we join in that, every time we pray for Taylor, we're part of that story. Every time we do something, even of the smallest measure, we're living in the center of the Jesus way, of the Jesus life, of serving others, of helping them to see what it means to be set free by the love of God, all of that revealed in Jesus' death on the cross. Now, I just want to talk about that for a moment because, as Christians and followers of Jesus, we have to keep the cross, the death of Christ, really at the very center of our life. It's the cross that keeps us on course. If we don't have the death of Christ at the center of who we are as Christians, in all likelihood, we may call ourselves Christians, but we're going to veer off wildly in all kinds of directions and tangents that are not the kingdom of God. Our text has an example of what I'm talking about. What happens when the other 10 disciples catch up with this conversation between between James and John and Jesus. Yeah, the A word, right? They get angry. They're indignant. I don't know that they came to blows. It doesn't say that, but I have this picture of fight central, finger pointing, complaining, whining, bickering going on. And what gets forgotten in all of that? Here's what got forgotten. We're going up to Jerusalem, where I'm going to be condemned to death. I'm going to be mocked and spit upon and flogged, and I'm going to be killed. And before you had two, and now you got 12 that are fighting for those positions of prominence. You know, the furthest thing possible from what Jesus is trying to tell them about the cross. Jesus is saying, listen, guys, you're not getting it. You've got to start laying down the big I so that you'll become someone who will serve others. So often I think as Christians, when we think about living the Christian life, we can live the Christian life in the kind of the mode that says, I can do this. I mean, I can do it. And I don't know why you're not doing it, because you should be able to do it too. Or, you know, what's wrong with this church? I mean, even Knox, they should be able to do it. They should be able to handle it. And again, you just see it's the surfacing of the big I, whether it's in what I think of myself, whether it's how I think about you, whether it's how I regard the church. And the good news that Jesus is a ransom for many, that Jesus has given his life, served us by giving up his life to be our deliverer, all of that gets lost. But when we take that in, when we open up our heart and our lives to Jesus, what happens is that Jesus gives us a new kind of identity. There's something that comes to be part of our DNA and our life that was not there before. We get this identity change, and we're now rooted and we're anchored in a relationship with Jesus, who's our servant, my servant, King and Lord. And Jesus now becomes the one who defines what life is for me. Jesus now becomes the one who shows me that real life is actually God life, that authentic life is the Jesus way. It's not the I life. It's not getting you to help me kind of life. It's the Jesus life, the Jesus way. And we need eyes. We really need eyes to see this. We need ears to hear this, that our servant King and Lord is actually available to us to say to us, I believe this. I hope you believe it too, that by his Spirit, Jesus is speaking into our hearts and our minds through circumstances, the inner voice, the reading of his word, and in prayer, he's saying, I want you to go over there. I want you to start praying for this little one here. I want you to get involved with this. I want you to, you need to plug into this. You need to become part of that. There's a big story, George, going on here, and you're settling for small and inconsequential stuff. Right here is where I want you. This is your destiny. This is my plan for your life. This is what real life is all about. You gotta grab hold of this, take hold of this new identity, and start living in this new way. I'm going to pray in just a second. Well, that's a good thing I'm going to pray. It's 10 o'clock. But 2 weeks from today at the 11 o'clock service, we're going to have Doug's profession of faith and his baptism. And Doug's a good friend of mine. I know he's a good friend of... Come to both services that Sunday, will you? I mean, come to 9 and come to 11. But I remember what you told me on Wednesday. You told me that you really wanted Harry Williams to be there. And I hope Harry will be able to be with us in 2 weeks. Harry isn't doing very well. Harry's doing so poorly, he can hardly get out of the chair in his apartment. Yet last Tuesday, Harry got out of that chair. I don't know how he did it. He got out of that chair and he went to the Waterdown Manor just down here where Doug lives. Because Harry's been doing, like, Harry's like 84. Or more. And he's been doing that like since he came to water down here a decade or more, every Tuesday. It's like he hears God saying, I want you at the watered down manor to sing Christian hymns with the people there. And he pulls himself out of the chair. He drags himself out of that chair. And I think one of the reasons you're here with us, Doug, is Harry Williams.
Yep.
Now, Harry wouldn't want me telling this, but he doesn't have functioning kidneys. He's on at-home dialysis sort of stuff. And he's been on that for a decade or more. And he's sick as anything right now. But he keeps hearing God speak. He keeps hearing Jesus say, I gave my life as a ransom for you. I didn't come to be served. I came to serve. Follow my lead. Go in my way. Live my life. I'd like to pray now. And what I want to ask you is that you really all would have your eyes closed for prayer, because I want you in this prayer time to say to Jesus just two words: use me. You know, I'm going to offer you some questions in prayer to God to help you make some connections with what God's heart is for you, for how you can serve others, because I believe you can hear the voice of the Spirit speaking to you. I believe that, the nudge of the heart. I believe that. And as you're quiet before God right now, just be asking yourself, Lord, I want to see the need. Help me hear what you're saying to me about that need where you can use me. Before I pray, let me ask you, what need? What need, when I'm praying, just ask God, what need is it that stands out for you? What's inside of you? Like right now, the Spirit of God working in your life that makes you weep. I mean, you just feel, when you think of this person or this situation, you just feel like you want to cry because it breaks your heart. Is there something when we're praying that just begins to start stirring in your spirit? It's like this well of water that just like wants to bubble up, and you know, it just in you, it's kind of like it's becoming a passion for you, something that's burning within you. What is it? Here's the clincher. When I pray, ask yourself this before God. What makes you want to say? What is it that makes you want to say? Why doesn't somebody do something about that? It just may be you're the someone that God wants to do something about that. So with your eyes closed, let's pray. I'm not going to have a long prayer. Jesus, as you so incredibly filled with grace and mercy have served us, have given us new life, Let me be your servant to bless someone today and tomorrow and through this week. Help me to be your agent of love. Help me to be a kingdom difference maker. Just to make simple and small differences in the lives of people who you right now are bringing to my mind and my attention. Help me to love others as you love me. Use me, Jesus. Use me. To your honor and your glory, and to the bearing of lots and lots of fruit for your kingdom, we pray this. Amen. I want to invite the praise team to come forward. Let's stand together.